biblical thanksgiving and consider that together. I want to read several passages of Scripture, if you'll turn to them with me, and then I want to glean from those passages the message of a biblical thanksgiving. The first one is Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, we begin reading at verse 15. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God, of Christ, members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonishing one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's one important passage. Another is Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, the idea of a biblical thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard or keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Another passage is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. What does the Bible say about thanksgiving? That's what we're getting at. Ephesians 5:19. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one final passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll begin at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Now, you're having a little Bible drill this morning, and if you were in Sunday school, you would have won a pin for being able to find all these passages. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We want to glean from those passages some truths about a biblical thanksgiving. Now, and you have an outline to follow if that'll be helpful. As we begin to talk about thanks and being thankful and having gratitude and so on, let's try to define it. What are we thinking about when we say we should give thanks? What is thanks? The biblical word is Eucharist, which is sometimes used in association with a communion service or the Lord's Supper regarding a feast of thanksgiving, giving thanks around a meal. And that giving of thanks is based on something that has happened internally. So as we think about thanks, we're thinking, first of all, of an inner reality, an internal reality of having received something. And that's an acknowledgement that we have been the receivers. And the realization of that is within us. And it's very real. And we could say, I have received And that could have been something verbally, something materially. We could have been encouraged, but we're saying, within me, I acknowledge I have received. The other side of that is the external expression of that internal reality. It is the giving of thanks. So the giving of thanks is something visible. The appreciation is expressed, and it can be verbal or it can be otherwise. So in thoughts of thanks and gratitude and giving, in thanksgiving, we receive and we give. Yesterday, Faye and I attended a wedding. And I wanted to be at that wedding not only to be with the people who were being married who were friends, but I knew that a couple would be there whom we don't see much, who have moved out of the area, but who contribute regularly to our church. And they have never attended a service, but they give every month to the church. And I felt that I had neglected to be grateful to them. And so I went and I sought them out with the express purpose of saying, thank you. I needed to do that. I wanted to do that. We have received from them. And I had the good experience of saying thank you. That was good. I was glad that God enabled me to do that. So at that point, I gave thanks. I remember some time ago of seeing a lady in a restaurant who had been a part of our church and with whom I had done some counseling. And when she saw me, she ran up and gave me a hug. A holy hug. She just exploded in thanksgiving because of some help that had saved her marriage. And she was grateful. And I received her thanks. And that was a good experience. So there is a giving and there's a receiving. There's an internal reality that we have received. And then we express that externally. That's a good thing. Now, I want to just put a parenthesis here for a moment. Because today we're having a baptismal service. And this baptismal service applies directly to what I've been saying about an internal reality expressed externally. Those who are being baptized have experienced the regenerating work of God's saving grace. That has been done. Now, the baptism is the expression of that. God has done a work in my heart. And now we're expressing our identification with Him in His death and resurrection. So there is the internal reality of salvation, and there is the external expression of testimony, of acknowledging publicly that God has done His work in our hearts. Baptism is not the cause of anything. It is the result. It is the result of God's work of grace. It comes after the cause. After God does His work of grace, then we give that testimony. That is what is occurring. It ties in with the definition of thanksgiving. Now, let's get to the biblical directives from the passages of Scripture, where many of them simply say, give thanks. And we pass over that kind of easily sometimes, but did you know that in the Psalms alone, there are 150 and more thoughts about thanks and gratitude, to give thanks to the Lord. It's just there continually. And it's there in the New Testament over 100 times. This is a vital part of our Christian life. This is special to the Lord, the thanksgiving of His people. So it's right that we take the time to consider this and review it in our life, to give thanks. For what? First of all, it's a response to God's grace. God is the first giver. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift," or His indescribable gift, that is, of Christ and salvation. God gives first. We never give to Him first. No one ever loved God first. We love Him because He first loved us. We never give to Him first. He gave to us, and our giving of thanks is a response to that. Response to God's gift of salvation, of raising us from the dead, and giving us new life in Christ. The justification, the sanctification, the glorification. What a glorious thing that is, to have eternal life. We should respond to that. I visited a lady yesterday who's probably 87 years old now and sees that she is near death. And she was in pain as we talked and weeping. And yet she was able to say to me, "Pastor Bill, I know I have eternal life and I know the blood of Christ covers me. And in spite of the complaining and in spite of some poor behavior, yet she has that assurance. And she's thankful." What a great thing that is, to have a thankful response to the Lord in response to His grace. Secondly, thanksgiving is an offering to God. Now the psalmist expresses that way, calls it the sacrifice of praise. Now, we don't bring an animal to church here this morning. We're not trying to add anything to our salvation. And yet, in a sense, we are offering to God something when we say thanks. And that's right and proper, and it's biblical. There is the sacrifice of praise. Thirdly, the giving of thanks is a testimony to others. And again, we find David saying over and over, "In the midst of the congregation, I will speak of you, and I will give thanks, and I will tell what you've done for me." And it's important that we do that as a testimony to others, to be a living advertisement that God is sovereign and His grace is real, so that we can truly say, "I am thankful." And we have a testimony of thanksgiving. There may be some of you here this morning who have never given a testimony of thanks before people. Pray that God will set you free to do that. Now, I know that most of the time we do that because we're shy or we don't want to take the time. Think about that this week. Lord, set me free to testify to Your grace in my life. We give thanks as a response to God's grace, as an offering to God, and as a testimony to others. And we have the cause and effect going on, and we testify to that. Now, as we think about giving thanks, it must be done sincerely. This is not something you can pump up on your own or try to crank out and do it from a human level. Giving thanks must be done very sincerely. Now, the Pharisees in the days of Jesus were people who didn't do this. Their giving of thanks was a superficial kind of thing. They didn't really mean it. They didn't really love the Lord. and they weren't saying thanks to him sincerely. Now, there's hardly anything worse in life than to be phony about this or to have it forced. And we can tell immediately with each other if that's happening. And we ought not to do that. We ought not to give lip service or have our thanksgiving be insincere. And you and I have both seen people try to do that with their lips and give thanks with a sneer. And that's wrong. It must be sincere. And then it must be done humbly. We must give thanks sincerely but humbly as a receiver. And I have met people who are too proud to be thankful, even too proud to receive. And sometimes the question comes in life, which is easier, to give or receive? Well, there's some people to whom you can't give anything because they're too proud to receive. And then they're too proud to say thanks. And you and I, in the family of God, being in the Lord Jesus Christ, must learn to give thanks sincerely and humbly with true gratitude. Now we approach a directive in these passages that becomes more difficult. We are told to give thanks in all circumstances. Now perhaps none of us here really have a problem with that. We could go to the next point. On the other hand, let's stay here for a little bit. Give thanks in everything, in all circumstances. That's almost like meddling, isn't it? Let's consider some of the factors in that. Giving thanks in all circumstances would mean that wherever we are geographically, we can be thankful and should be. I remember chiding a fella who was out here visiting from Minnesota one winter. And I was, you know, I meant it in a kidding, joking way about Minnesota and the tough winters and all. And it happened to be a sunny day here in California. But he let me know right away that he was very thankful to be where God had put him. And he was worshiping and serving the Lord in the winter of Minnesota as anyone here was in sunny California. He got me back. I thanked him for that. That was good. I needed it. It doesn't matter where we are. We can be thankful wherever we are geographically. Being thankful in all circumstances means in the activities of life, as we see them as a service for Him. Probably the highest calling of God on this earth is the calling of a homemaker. Wives and mothers who are homemakers rest under the highest calling that God ever gave a human being. You can be thankful for that. Thankful for work, as difficult as our work becomes sometimes. Thank God that He has given that to us. In all kinds of activities, we are to be thankful and turn that into thanksgiving. Even when you're four putting, you could be thankful. Well, I haven't had to try that yet because I've never four putted. I five putt. There's a matter of health or illness. And we are to be thankful in all circumstances. And you and I can think of many examples of people whom we know and have known who have been very thankful, gracious people in the midst of the worst illness we can think. The lady I visited yesterday was Olive Jones, and some time back her husband, Bill, died at the age of 97. Now, in the worst of his illness, he had the joy of the Lord and the thanksgiving in his heart. It was a marvelous thing to see. We think of prosperity and poverty, and we're to be thankful in these. We think of age, whether we're children, young people, or adults, or older adults. We're to be thankful. And one of the things the Bible teaches us is that we are to grow old graciously. So here's a directive from God's Word. Be thankful in all circumstances. Now, some of us are in places where we are kind of waiting. And there is an uncertainty about our future, even here on earth. And there are some unknowns. And rather being thankful at those times, we get too anxious and we lose that gratitude. But it's important to be grateful in the time of waiting. While a farmer waits for the harvest, it's important for him to be thankful during that time waiting for the harvest. There are tragedies of life. There are those things we call catastrophes that God is going to use for our good, and we're to be thankful. And then probably the most difficult area is those things we call irritations. The irritations of life. And can we say, thank you, Lord? As it's raining today and you're driving home on the freeway and you have a flat tire. Now that's, I'm not a prophet. I'm just, you know, could be. Now, do you jump out of the car and you say, thank you, Lord, for the flat tire? No, because that's dishonest. But you could say, Lord, I don't like this. But I will trust you and believe you that something good could come out of this, and I will make the best of it, and I will love you and worship you while I'm taking care of this, either fixing the flat or whatever. Do you know what God may be doing there? He may be saving you from death, because if you had gotten to the next corner at that time, another car would have hit you. See, you know, we don't know what God is doing there. So we can be thankful in all circumstances, geographically, with our activities, and with all these things. Then we read in these passages of Scripture that we are to be thankful at all times. And the word used here is always. We read that in Ephesians 5. Always give thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, which teaches us another aspect of being thankful, that it's an attitude that we never lose. It is to be thankful always, unceasingly. It's like the confession of sin. That's an attitude we never lose. We never claim innocence. And so we never lose the attitude of thanksgiving. Another directive here in this passage is that the thanksgiving must be to God. Now, we take that for granted. But let me call your attention to this, that we are told to do this. We give thanks to God. And sometimes we're a little bit casual about that. And we're thankful, but we don't give careful attention to being thankful to God. We read of Jesus saying, I thank you, Father. And we need to say that. And we need to direct our thanksgiving with attention to Him. Paul the Apostle says, I thank my God. That's a need in our life. That's a biblical directive. Another one is that it's to be in the name of Christ. We give thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ and in His name. Now, what does that mean, to do that in His name? It means that we give thanks for the same reasons He gives thanks. So we need to pour through the Scripture and look at Him and see what He's doing and find out what He's thankful about. And we give thanks for the same reason and in the same spirit. And we give thanks to God the Father through Him as our mediator. that we couldn't even give thanks to God if it were not for Christ being our mediator. Now we come to another thing here as a directive that's a little different that we don't ordinarily think of. It's in 1 Thessalonians passage where we read, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ." Now I suppose that if we had a record of the history of seminars and conferences and sermons and lessons, that a high percentage of those would be regarding the will of God. And books are being written today about how to find the will of God, how to be in the will of God, and so on. And that's important. But do you know essentially how that works? Do you want to be in the will of God? Do you want to be in the will of God? Do you want to be in the will of God? Do you want to be? And you are. Because it's an attitude. And when you want the will of God, you're in it. Now, the will of God expressed here is to be thankful. This is the will of God for you. Here's another aspect of it. The will of God for our life this morning is to be thankful to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is it. This is the will of God for our lives. These are some directives. Let's consider the benefits. What are the benefits of giving thanks? The first one is the fact that it honors God. There's something about this we read about in Scripture that brings honor to God as we give thanks. Now, in another sense, God, in His perfection, we cannot add to His honor because His honor is already perfect. It's like saying we glorify God, but we can't really glorify God because He's already perfect in glory. And yet, in a sense, we give honor to God by giving thanks. It's a calling. The calling of the Christian, the calling of the believer, is to be thankful to God. Now, unbelievers are not going to do that. They might give some lip service on occasion of saying thanks to God, but they don't do that through our Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't really honor God. Only we can do that. And it is our calling to be thankful. A second benefit of giving thanks is that it's a healing factor of conflicts. One of the chief healing factors of conflicts in human relationships is the giving of thanks, especially in marriage. If we could ask God to break through our stubbornness and our resistance and humble us to go and say thanks, it's a healer. The lady I was telling you about in the restaurant that was appreciative had come and was having problems. And there were certain things about her husband that were disagreeable. And rightly so, she should be concerned. And my word to her was to take 1 month, forget the negatives, go home, and make a list of the things that you appreciate about your husband and thank him. Do that for 1 month. She did that. Happy marriage. Great healing. Simple thing, but it works. It's a healing factor. Breakdown give in. Say thank you. It's a relief from bitterness. Many people are in hospitals this morning because bitterness has poisoned their lives mentally and emotionally. And they dwell in self-pity. Could get out of that by being willing to say thank you. Giving thanks also is the greatest encouragement toward good behavior. And this starts very early in life with young children. How they need to be encouraged for good behavior. And how you need that and how I need that. But we tend to dwell on our bad behavior. I mean, you could live this day and you could do 100 good things. But the people around you would remember the one bad thing. Then we dwell on that and we go at that rather than giving the encouragement of thanks for the good behavior you have had. That's a healing factor. That motivates and inspires toward more good behavior. The giving of thanks also delivers from selfishness. We tend to accumulate for ourselves and we dwell on getting. But being thankful and giving thanks delivers from that. There are many, many other things you could think about. We could spend all year thinking about the benefits of giving thanks. It's so freeing. It's so marvelous. Why do we neglect it? Well, let's think about the process of giving thanks. How do we do that? You say, Bill, I'm convicted. I need to give thanks. I'm convinced it's God's word and God's will. What do I do? Well, let me warn you not to try to do this just from your human effort, but to come and realize that a grateful heart is the gift of God. It comes from Him. And so if we're responding to the message today, we come before the Lord and say, Lord, give me a grateful heart. And out of that renewed heart, we come and give thanks. That's the process. Come to God for it. We receive the spirit of thanksgiving. We receive a renewed heart to do that. And then we give thanks. And I want to suggest to you today there is a priority of giving thanks. And that priority, of course, is first of all to the Lord. And while we have this great holiday in our country, probably the majority of the people are going to have a sense of thanksgiving for material blessings, but they're not going to thank the Lord. And that's what happens in our holidays. We get so wrapped up in the holiday, we forget what it's about. That's why it's important for us to meet on Thanksgiving morning here and start that day being thankful to the Lord. The priority of thanksgiving is first to the Lord. Secondly, it is to those nearest us. Now that is the other thing we overlook. We begin to think about way out there or in our past or whatever and overlook the people whom God has put right in our path. We need to give thanks to those who are right with us now if we are sincere. We cannot overlook the wife, the husband, the brother, the sister, the son, the daughter, the people around us in the church, and those with whom we work. Otherwise, we're phony. It isn't real. To those nearest us, then to those who have a need. We need to go out to those who have a need, and we can all discern who that is. We understand that who is hurting and who needs special attention, and to be able to go and say, I'm thankful for you for and to express something that you know that's good. And then fourthly, we need to give thanks to those we have neglected. And we could all make a long list of those people, and I suggest we do. That before the week is over, make a list of those people whom you have neglected to say thanks to. And this week, then make some calls, make some telephone calls, and make some visits, and write some letters, and say thank you. And you know our problem is that we'll sit here and we'll think about that, and you may say, Bill, I'm hearing you, and it sounds great, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to forget it. And it's going to be too late. We wait too late to say thank you. There are people in my life where I had waited too late, and I no longer have the opportunity. I don't want to do that. To people we have neglected. Calls and visits and letters before it's too late. This is a week of a national holiday where in our country we set aside a day to be thankful to God. Now, in this modern society, in this world, that is almost unbelievable. What a privilege. And when our president made his response to the Congress about the summit, he mentioned that. Do you think they're going to do that in the other countries? Of course not. What a privilege we have. A week of thanksgiving. It's a call to be thankful. And I believe that God is stirring our hearts this morning through His Word with this call to give thanks this week, to express our thanks verbally, visibly, with substance, and to begin now to give thanks today, this week, this season. Let's respond to Him as we continue to worship.